How many of these things you can remember, amen? I would say God has certainly been with us this week in the missions conference, and God has certainly helped us and smiled, so to speak, shone upon us His light and His glory, His grace. But I still think, you know, there's always room for improvement. There's always room for improvement in sinners, and we are a church made up of saved sinners. There's always room for improvement. So I'm going to go back to finish up what God had started with us in talking about a better church in Hebrews 13. And would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Bible here one last time? And Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, that's you and me, with his own blood. Now, suffered without the gate. That's a tremendous verse. That verse right there would humble anybody, amen, if their heart was right.
Amen, brother.
Jesus, in order to sanctify me, he didn't need sanctifying. In order to sanctify me with his own blood, he suffered. Verse 13. This is how any God-fearing, Bible-believing, humble soul would respond to that. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him. Since he suffered and sanctified us with his own blood, we should go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Outside of the comforts in the camp and all of that we talked about, bearing his reproach, bearing our cross. God's will for you is always going to bring reproach upon you as a Christian, because God's will is always going to make you completely different than the world.
Right. Yep.
Again, Brother Evan's talking about his future, and I don't know what it is exactly God does, and God will reveal it to him, but whatever it is, Evan, if he's doing God's will, he's going to be different than people around him who aren't saved. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. And that's okay, though, because we're sanctified by the very blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're not living, amen. We're not laying up our treasures here. We're looking for that city that is to come. Glory to God. That heavenly city paved with gold. Verse 15, by him, therefore, and this was, I think, the last one we talked about, by him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You understand, it's through Jesus Christ that we can even have the opportunity to praise God. God has to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That is with the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Verse 16 is our text tonight. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Father, we ask you tonight to help. Lord, I ask you to help me. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to your people, to say what needs to be said. Lord God, I pray your spirit would fill me, that you would help me, Lord, to speak with a heart filled with your grace, your mercy. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've talked in this chapter about Christian love, charity, but the King James Bible doesn't call it love. It calls it charity. It's not a Salvation Army type charity. I mean, it's related to the love of God. It's different than the love of the world. We've talked about comforting strangers, giving to hospitality. We've talked about compassion. Amen. God remembered us. We ought to remember others and we talked about clean and pure living. Amen. We talked about being content with such things as you have, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to you tomorrow or the next day or the next week, amen, Jesus is there. If you're saved, He's there. He's there. He's not, he cannot leave you. He cannot forsake you. Otherwise, He'd be a liar. And that's not my Savior. Amen. That may be some people's God, but not the God of the Bible. We talked about commitment to the Lord, amen, through the house of God and through the ministries of the local church in verse 7. We talked about consistency. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean, preacher? That means if I'm walking with Him and He's changing and molding me, then I'm going to be consistent. More consistent. Christian growth is that I get more and more like Christ every day. That's what the whole point is. I become more and more like Christ. I become more and more like my Savior. And the more I am like Him, the more I'm going to be consistent every day because He never changes. Amen. Consistency. We talked about consecration. Coming out. We just read those verses, right? Coming out of the camp and living outside. Amen. Living in God's will because we're walking with Christ. And then last time we talked about continual praise. And here tonight I want to talk to you about, in verse 16, communication. Now, this is not what you may think it is, okay? Communication is not you speaking or making a point somehow, getting a point across. This communication, the word means here, as you study, it means to partner or participate with. To partner in or participate with, okay? In the context of this verse here, and with the previous verse, we see that praise is not all the believer is responsible for. Now, again, let's read verse 15. By Him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the what? Sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. We talked about constant, continual praise. That is indeed part of what our lives should define us as Christians, that we are continually praising God, amen, in spite of what goes on around us. Much emphasis today, however, is being put on praise and worship in this generation. Okay? But here we plainly see in the scripture here that praise and worship alone is not all that God wants from His people.
All right.
Okay? Now, even if praise and worship is done properly, the Bible says God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that means it's not done in the flesh.
Right.
An unsaved person does not have the Holy Spirit of God. Right. He can't possibly praise God and worship God because he's not even saved.
Right.
If a person is depending upon his good works and his religion and he thinks he's praising God, then God says that's not even accepted because you don't even have my Spirit.
Right.
But even when it's done properly in spirit and in truth, it's still not the sole responsibility of God's people. Apparently here, we see these folks had a difficult time remembering some things. They had a difficult time understanding, apparently, this Hebrew crowd that got saved, understanding, hey, it's not just about praising God. It's not just about giving sacrifices and offering up sacrifices to God. Remember, that's all the Jews did. They just went to the temple, they went to the tabernacle, and they offered up those sacrifices to God, and that's what they were supposed to do. But now, listen to me, now, amen, we're born again. Now we're saved. Again, that's why the Bible says that Jesus has sanctified us with His own blood. He suffered and shed His blood so that we might be sanctified. So now we do praise Him, absolutely, but that's not all we're supposed to do. These Hebrew believers were forgetting some things. When they focused on praising God and worshiping and offering up those sacrifices, they were overlooking some other aspects that I'm afraid a lot of people do too, still today. They were forgetting to do good and to communicate. Go back to verse 13 again. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Okay, that is doing something. That is not praising God continually. That is not always worshiping God. That is going forth bearing His reproach. That is actively doing something for God.
Yeah.
Praising the Lord is good. Praising is important. Listen to me. God deserves all of our praise, and we should never stop praising Him. Don't take me wrong. However, we must not forget that we are also supposed to get involved in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. Doing good and communicating here. The word communicate appears in some other parts of the Scripture, and they're synonyms, okay? You know what a synonym is, right? Let me take you back to English class, right? Different words that have the same meaning. They mean the same thing. We're going to look at a few of these passages by way of introduction here tonight to look at what it really means to communicate as a church, to do good and to communicate. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 13, Brother Hall read this, and we went over this, and let's read this here, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. That word distribution is the same word as communication over there in Hebrews 13. So this is a synonym of that word. And we've heard much about this, as I mentioned in our missions conference. This is simply giving to others, distributing, liberally distributing to others, offerings that help other people. That's what a faith promise offering is about, folks. It's an offering that helps other people, as we talked about during the conference. I'm not going to belabor the point, but it's getting, remember I said the word means to participate in, to be a part of. So when I give, distribute my offerings to help the saints of God, the missionaries do the work around the world, I'm getting involved in their ministry. I'm participating in their ministry wherever they're at. So we again, that's not, obviously, that's part of what God wants from us, participating in their lives, giving to help meet a need that they have. Look over in Romans chapter 12. We're just going to use the Bible tonight, so amen. Don't go to sleep on me. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Distributing, it's the same word. Distributing to the necessity of saints. That's exactly what we're talking about. Part of our job, our responsibility as a church, as a body of believers, is to distribute, to communicate, to be a part of helping other people, the necessity of saints. Now, yes, we're going to do good to people in the world, but listen to me. We have to be good stewards with our money. Do you think God would rather you give a $5 cheeseburger to a homeless man or give $5 to missions to a missionary who's going to preach the gospel? You see what I mean? Yeah, we've got to be wise with this thing. Say, can I give money to homeless people? I'm not saying don't give money to homeless people, but don't give all your money to people who you have no idea what they're going to do with it, and then have nothing to give to God and the mission and the work of God around the world. That's all I'm saying. Be careful with that. But see, look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 26. Don't go home and say, preacher said I can't give money to poor people. I said, all I said is you don't know what they're going to do with it, amen. Give it as unto the Lord. Just don't let that be your crutch and not give to missions, all right? Romans 15, verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. We heard a lot about them this week, didn't we? It hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Notice it says poor. But it says poor saints. Amen? Poor saints. Yeah, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but understand something. People nowadays see a church as just another way to get something.
Yeah.
To get some money, to get some help. And I've helped them and I will help them many times. I've done it and I'll keep doing it as the Lord leads me. Okay?
Amen.
But I'm not going to take all of your hard-earned money and offerings that you, because listen, everything that this church has as far as finances comes from you. Right. It comes from God, I understand. But you've got to give it up, amen? Right. You've got to put it in the offering plate. So I'm responsible, amen, managing that, so we don't just go handing out things to everybody who asks for it, amen? But when a believer, for instance, Brother... y'all know Brother Steele, don't you? Amen. Brother Steele has that brand new truck he had last time he was here. Remember that big old, I said, that's not bad looking for a Ford. Well, his engine is seized up. It's blown. It's dead. It's gone. The truck is off the road, broke down. Now, He needs about $20,000 to get a new engine in that truck. I said, Brother Steele, how much is a new truck, man? Good night. Well, apparently that truck, you need something that big, you know, to carry, to haul that trailer. It's like $33,000 to $35,000. So he at the under the counsel of his pastor, he's looking to raise $20,000. Now that is making contribution for the poor saints. Brother Steele, amen. You say he's not poor, is he? Well, compared to rich people, he is. Amen. Seriously, though, that's different than just giving to somebody who says, "I'm hungry," and you know that their lives does not, you have no idea about their spiritual condition. But see, communication is part of our responsibility. That missions conference we just had is exactly what I'm talking about here tonight. Again, Paul's referring to the churches of Macedonia and Achaia, and he's saying they were giving to meet the needs of poor saints at Jerusalem. So that's part of that communication. But listen, there's another part here, another synonym of this word. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. So one synonym for this communication is distribution. Another synonym for this communication is actually two different words, mean the same thing, communion and fellowship. Communion and fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We're talking about the Lord's Supper here now. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers. There's that word, right? Partaking of that one bread. When you get saved, listen to me, you become bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. That's what the Bible says. When you get saved, Christ is in you, amen? And when you take that blood and take that cup and that communion, you're partaking of that, his body. That's what that is about. It's a picture. In the Bible, verse 18, behold Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers, there it is, of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have, what's this next word? With what? Let's read verse 20 again. But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Now, we don't have people literally in America too much sacrificing things to devils, but not willingly or not, see, I say not knowingly. But what we have is a whole lot of lost people. The Bible uses the word Gentiles there, right, as compared to Jews. When the Bible uses the word Gentiles, like he's talking about pagan nations, lost people, okay? And so he's saying the Gentiles are offering up things to devils, because they have fellowship with devils. Now, let's just make that practical as we can down to our level here, right down here where we live, amen. Lost people living in sin. Lost, unsaved people doing things that glorify devils. Offering up sacrifices to devils. Why? Because they have fellowship with devils. Isn't that an amazing phrase in that verse? Why does the man of God, the Holy Spirit, have to say to believers, I would not, which means I don't want you to have fellowship with devils. Does that possibly mean that I can?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, that's a little bit steep. Now listen, that's a little bit steep, but understand something. That's what was killing the church at Corinth. That's why it was so carnal. Now I don't have time to go back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians where he said, I speak to you. Yes, I do. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, amen. Go back to chapter 1. I don't want to butcher it. I want you to see it. What was killing this church? Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, he's still beginning this letter here, this first epistle to the Corinthians. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, they're brethren. They're saved. Okay? But he says, I could not speak as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They had been saved for a long time, but they were not growing as individuals. Their church was not spiritual because obviously the church is not the building, amen? The church is the people. So the people were carnal. The people were not spiritual. In other words, they were not walking in the spirit. They were walking in the flesh, and the flesh always has fellowship with devils. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10 where we were there. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. And the cup of devils. If I'm fellowshipping with the world and with devils and sin and acting and living like Gentiles, lost people, I cannot have real fellowship with my Savior.
Right.
What does that verse say? It says, ye cannot.
Right.
It doesn't say you won't, you may not be able to. It doesn't say you probably won't, you probably can't. It says, ye cannot.
Right.
Drinking the cup is the Lord's Supper. I know we're not talking about the Lord's, but that is a part of, man, we're partakers with His body and with His blood because we're in Him and He's in us.
Right.
But when we have fellowship with devils, amen, when we have communion with the world, we are not having communion with Christ. It's impossible. It's not possible to have fellowship with both camps.
Yeah, right.
You can't be in two places at once.
Right.
Now here's the thing. Many people live with their hearts in the world and their bodies in church.
Come on.
God doesn't care where your body is.
Right. That's right. Come on.
God doesn't care where our mind is.
Right, right.
He sees where, listen, I mean, where your body is. He sees where our hearts and our minds are.
Right.
We're not defined by the body. We're defined by the heart. Amen. The body's just a vessel. It's an earthen vessel.
Right.
But you understand, tonight I want to spend a few minutes here talking about this thing of communion and fellowship. I want to just talk about this for a few minutes because there's a right way to communicate, to have right fellowship. Obviously, is what God's talking about. Remember, He says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. So there's an important thing here that I want to talk about tonight, an important part of a good church to becoming a better church. Number one, this communion or this communication, this fellowship is absolutely impossible without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 13. I'm going to use some scripture here tonight. I won't be too much longer. Just stay with me. We're not going to talk about distributing. You heard about that during the conference if you were here. Brother Hall did a tremendous job explaining that from beginning to end. We're not going to neglect that, amen. Don't give. Listen, if you made a promise to God to give to missions weekly, biweekly, monthly, listen, do not think it's going to be overlooked by God.
Right.
I'm not keeping track of it. I'm keeping track of what comes in, but I don't know what you promised. I don't know, you know, whether you are or aren't. It's between you and God. But understand something. God has perfect records. God does keep perfect records. So don't neglect that. Some of you are just, there's so much for you to look forward to in this coming year. I think every time we have a Faith Promise Missions Conference, the way I look at it is, man, I'm excited to see what God's going to do.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what God's going to do. Not just in my heart, my family, but in your lives, and your families.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about God.
Amen.
But see, I don't know. It's probably been 12 years or so, 13, 14 years. I don't remember when I started giving the Faith Promise. It's a long time ago. But I think it was probably $5 a week, something like that. I think the next year I said, man, this is crazy. And, you know, I just went in over my head, so to speak. And God never failed me. I guess that's my personality. Maybe I'm a little bit, I don't want to say charismatic, but maybe I'm a little bit, you know, I get excited about believing God and really say, okay, God, you said you're going to do this. Man, I'm going to prove it.
Amen.
I'm going to prove it. And that God says, prove me. And I'm just saying, you know, here, if Now, they're not out of the woods, so to speak, yet, and nobody is. But I have two children now that have said, Lord, I'll go. I'm not bragging on me, folks. I'm bragging on God.
Amen.
Now listen, if these two children decide they don't go and they fall on their face, then it's not God's fault.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But God put something in these kids' hearts. God put something in your hearts to do what God has promised to do through this church for the next 12 months for worldwide missions. But we're not going to have enough room for the mission there. The walls are going to be full.
Amen.
We're going to have to build another wall somewhere. Seriously, think about what. But see, what's God going to do with that? Listen to me. Listen. Every person that gets saved in any one of those countries at any time is part of this church.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't see him in my building. Who cares if you don't see him in your building?
Amen.
That's part of your fruit.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
Every person that gets saved in Brazil and Thailand and Bangkok, eating a Krispy Kreme donut, and they get saved. Amen. That's fruit that abounds to the account of this church.
Yes.
Well, they're not sitting here. That doesn't matter. Since when does that matter? Amen. God gives the increase. It doesn't matter where it's at, but we can have a part of it through our giving. That's part of that communication.
Amen.
But that's fellowship with God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. There's the Trinity. Be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. See, that communion of the Holy Ghost is necessary for the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Communion with the Holy Ghost is you have to be saved.
Right. Yeah.
You have to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot of people not understanding this thing about fellowship.
Man.
Not understanding this thing about why is it so bad to have fellowship with the world. When the Bible says, I would that you should not have fellowship with devils. And you say, well, that's not that bad. You know why you're saying that? Because you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Because when you have the Holy Ghost, when you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost, you see the difference between light and darkness.
Yes.
You see the difference between devils and the Lord's table.
Right.
You don't try to walk the fence and make everybody happy. You realize, I'm going to keep my communion with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to sit at that table.
Right.
Yep. But that's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, listen, and without being saved, you just don't understand what's the big deal. Well, Philippians chapter 2, look at this real quick. Philippians chapter 2, it's only possible with the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you can have this communion, this fellowship with the Lord, this communication. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. May I say, these things go together. Remember, it's the same exact word. These things go together with missions money, too.
Right.
You don't understand what the big deal. Why should I give the Lord so much money? I've got my things I need and things I've got to do with it. That's because you don't understand. See, when you give to something, you are making yourself a part of that.
Amen.
You understand what I said, right?
Yeah.
When you give to something, that's what the Bible's teaching us here. When we give, we're participating.
Right.
Okay? For example, if I were to give, again, if I were to give money to an alcoholic, I'm participating in his alcoholism.
That's right.
I'm partaking with him.
Yeah.
I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm fellowshipping with it.
Right.
You see? But when you get the Holy Ghost, look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's the context there is within a church.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. The abomination is extreme, intense hatred.
Yeah.
The seventh thing that he says is an abomination is not a thing at all. It's a person. The Bible says the seventh thing that God is abomination to God is he that soweth discord among the brethren. Why? Because it disrupts this fellowship. It breaks this fellowship. It breaks this, look, this like-mindedness. And look what also, and when that's broken, look in verse 1. Consolation in Christ. Look at this, comfort. Church ought to be a place where you come and you're comforted. You feel you're safe. This is a refuge and a strong tower. And it strengthens you and your resolve. And because you're in fellowship and like-mindedness with believers who are walking in the same light. Amen. But you see, without the Holy Spirit, you have no idea what I'm even talking about. That's why people don't get it. That's what I said, preacher, our church, listen, our church is not growing or whatever, it's not very big. Understand something, they're not going to have fellowship with you without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He, the Spirit of God, is what makes this unity. It's what makes the bond of peace, the connection. It's absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. Number two. It always involves your church family. I read it a little bit there, but let's look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It's absolutely impossible that you understand missions giving and fellowshipping with those missionaries and fellowshipping and communion with Christ, with each other as a church. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit. And again, it always involves, number 2, your church family. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And listen, it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John's talking about here, we want you to have the fellowship with us. As a church family, we want you to have the fellowship. We're soul winning.
Amen.
We're declaring these things unto you, so you can have fellowship with us. But look, notice the fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you understand, the third part of that Trinity that's not there is who? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's in the believer.
Right.
Are you listening to me? So the only way there's fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, is after they get saved. And that's why we declare them the gospel unto them. We preach the gospel to lost sinners far and wide, whether it be out there in the mission field or right here on the streets of Denton. It's all people, and we're declaring the gospel. Why? Because we want them to come into the house of God and have the fellowship that we have.
Amen.
They have that union, that communion that we have with each other and through the Father and the Son.
Amen.
You see, it's always involving the body of Christ, the church body. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles, notice now, doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The doctrine is what brought them together.
Amen.
A doctrine is a teaching, what Jesus, what the Bible teaches. Okay? Now listen, think about it this way. If I have different doctrine than you do, then I can't have fellowship with you.
Right.
We don't see eye to eye. I can have very superficial fellowship, obviously, but it's not going to be the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit, the like-mindedness and the comfort of love, those things we just read. It's not going to be there.
Right.
You understand? So if a person comes into our assembly and our gathering, We're going to declare unto them, amen, the gospel. We're going to preach Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in us is going to try to draw them, into a sweet fellowship with us as we fellowship with the Father. But it's not going to happen, amen, until they understand that there's a doctrine involved here.
Amen.
There's a reason we're Amazing Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
There's a reason we preach and teach the Bible, because the doctrines are what unite us at first, and then we can have fellowship. It's a sweet peace. It's a sweet comfort of love. But you see, without that, it's broken. When a person gets saved, think about this. Jesus moves in. Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And when the Word of God moves into the heart, the doctrine's there too.
Right.
Right? And boy, when a person gets saved and they start hearing and seeing the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the truth that's made them free, amen? And they are free indeed. The Son has made them free indeed. And you see, there's a sweet comfort and love and peace and communion and fellowship then, and you're going to want to be in church. You see what I mean? But it's absolutely impossible without the Holy Ghost. And it's always, listen, involves your church family. A person who tells me that they're saved, but they don't care about going to church. Now, it's possible they're saved. I can't see their heart. But I'm not going to bank a whole lot of money on that.
Yeah.
Right.
You understand? God's people can't get away with the same things the devil's people get away with. In 1 Corinthians 10, we just read it, there's a big difference between those two tables. The devil's table, the Lord's table. If I'm sitting at the Lord's table, amen, I am the Lord's. I am His, He is mine.
Right.
Glory to God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Now, I can't get up from that table and go have fellowship with the devils without Him doing something about it.
Right. Amen. Right. Yep.
However, listen to me now. If I'm over here all week long, and I step into church for a little while over here, and then you do my little thing, and go back over here the rest of the week, nobody's going to bother me.
Because
I'm not His, and He's not mine.
Right.
See, God's people can't get away with the same things the devil's crowd gets away with. And if you do, you better get saved.
Yes, sir.
If you can keep on and on and on and on and sitting at the devil's table and have no fellowship and have no desire, listen, then something's wrong, because your church family is God's extension of His fellowship for us.
Amen.
That's what 1 John 1 says. We've seen, we declare these things so you can have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father. We want other people to come in, but if they don't accept the doctrine, if they don't get saved by the blood of Jesus and get indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then they're not going to have that fellowship with us.
Right.
They're not going to understand. So don't think it's crazy. Don't think you're doing something wrong. Don't think that the church is wrong. Hey man, you understand? I'm telling you right here, right now, God's telling us that we've got to communicate and to do good, not to forget. Those things are important, amen. But part of that is understanding our fellowship, our communion, our partaking with God's work is going to make us different.
Right.
Because we've got the Holy Spirit. And there's no fellowship with God outside of the Holy Spirit. So it's absolutely impossible without the Holy Ghost. It always involves your church family. The third thing I want to say is always intended, listen, to draw us closer to Christ. It's always intended. Look in 1 John, you're already there, verse 6. If we say then that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, folks, listen, that's not salvation.
Right.
If it was salvation, He wouldn't say we.
Right, right.
Okay, John did not need to get saved over and over again.
Right.
He said we. If we walk in the... He's writing in first person. He's including Himself in that.
Right.
He doesn't need to get saved again.
Right.
What do you mean when it says the blood of His Christ cleanses from all sin? Yeah, because that sin breaks your fellowship.
Right.
That sin breaks your communion with the Lord's table.
Right.
Sitting over there at the devil's table, amen, you're not in communion with the Lord's table.
Right.
You're never going to be comfortable. You're never going to be happy. So you're going to have to come back to the light. And then the Bible says when we walk in the light, then His blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. It restores us back to fellowship. But see, what is the point? Because see, we don't want the... God says, I don't want you to walk in that darkness, because I want you to have fellowship with Me. I want you to have fellowship with Me. The whole idea is to be brought back to that fellowship with Christ. The reason you like to come to church is not because of the building, the air conditioning, the fans, the wonderful song service, you know, the fellowship hall. The reason that you enjoy coming to church is because you enjoy Jesus.
Amen.
See?
Yes, sir.
You enjoy Jesus. That's the whole idea behind all of this. To do, see, when we participate in missions conference and going to the mission field and knocking on doors, and we participate just in a church service, the ultimate goal for God is that we have closer fellowship with Him.
Amen.
With Him. It's all, listen, it's absolutely impossible that the Holy Spirit. It always involves your church family. It's always intended to draw us closer to Christ so we can have fellowship with Him. The Bible tells us we're a church. A church, by definition, means a called out assembly.
Amen.
You're called out of the Gentile nations. You're called away from the devil's table. You're called away from the fellowship with the Gentile world and the pagans. You're called unto Christ, amen, for fellowship with Him. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called you out to have fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, fellowship of His sufferings, partaking of His sufferings. Hebrews 13 declares it this way, the bearing His reproach, remember? Bearing His reproach. God wants us to fellowship with Him like Christ fellowship with Him. You know, Jesus woke up a long while before break of day and went out and prayed. Sometimes He went out late at night and He prayed all night long. There was a very close fellowship there between Him and His Father. He suffered. Listen, you understand, He suffered compared to heaven. From the time He was in Mary's womb, from the time He was conceived miraculously, He was laying down His glory, not His deity, but His glory, and living 33 and a half years on this earth, suffering pain, hunger, tears, sorrow, rejection, the cross ultimately. But see, a right heart desires to understand when God makes me suffer because I'm bearing His reproach, that I'm entering into sweet fellowship with Jesus. See, we've got to understand God wants us to be closer to Him.
Yeah. Right.
I was just talking with Preston before church, and he said, I don't know if I'm praying for a complete healing from my back or praying for God's grace and strength while I'm hurting. I said, man, that's a blessing.
Amen.
He said, but I'm not completely ruling out the healing. Well, yeah, don't rule it out. God can.
Amen.
But you understand, the Apostle Paul was the very one that said, I prayed thrice for that thorn in my flesh to be removed. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Yes.
Paul's the one that said, to all that I might know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Entering into that fellowship. Entering, in other words, partaking with Christ while I'm suffering. Because I'm drawing closer to the Lord. See, the ultimate goal is for us to be closer to the Lord. You, as a church family, when you're not grumpy, you help me draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, you caused me, by God's calling on my life, to sit in my study. Wow, those are big words. Praise the Lord, brother. To sit in my study and study the Bible.
Amen.
Now, I would do it anyway, but you know, it's a different level because I'm studying to feed you. I'm preparing a meal, amen. It's different than just eating. You ladies know that, don't you? I'm preparing a meal to feed you. I mean, you help me draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
See how this works?
Yeah.
We help each other draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
We're supposed to be helping each other.
Right.
Encouraging each other. Being on time and faithful to church.
Amen.
And ministries of the church.
Yeah.
It doesn't encourage people when you're not here, etc. I'm not going to go there, but you understand. We're encouraging each other. We're provoking one another unto love and to good works. Miss Claudia's never going to forget that. Provoking one another. It's okay to provoke in a good way. But see, that's God isn't. God gave us this church. Amen. Christ gave us this church. He bought this church with His own blood. Amen. So that we can have fellowship with each other, but that's just a little bitty picture of heaven. Supposed to be.
Yeah.
Supposed to be. See, but that's why it's impossible. Listen, don't get so upset when someone comes in, they visit, and they don't come back.
Yeah.
They don't have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So they don't have the fellowship, the unity. They don't understand it. You understand? The Bible says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And when they come in here, they don't find flesh.
Amen.
They're not supposed to.
No.
We need to make sure they find the Spirit of God, not flesh.
Amen.
In every definition of that word.
Amen.
But see, don't get upset. We're not called. Listen to me. Our job as a church is to preach the gospel. Okay? If they don't want it, listen to me. It's not that we did something wrong.
Right.
We still have each other, amen?
Right.
But see, what happens, we get discouraged or something because things not, and be careful. Because then you start going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Understand, I need this church whether it never grows one more person. You need this church whether it never grows one more person. It's not about, listen, it's God's will for me to be here because this fellowship helps me draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
It's absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. It always involves your church family. It's intended to draw us closer to the Lord. And finally, this goes without saying, so it is attacked intentionally by Satan. It is under attack intentionally, this fellowship, by Satan. The number one way he attacks it is through satanic doctrine. Matthew 16, quickly, I'm almost done. Matthew 16, verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. His disciples were not getting it. Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye haven't brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither 7 loaves and 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then the light came on. Verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of what? Doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah.
Now, the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees really boils down to one thing. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Pride. Same thing. Vanity. Same thing. But false doctrine is false doctrine. And you see, some of you understood that last week ago Sunday and then a couple of nights during the conference, there was a visiting man here who was very intent on promoting some false doctrine that he thought was true. He talked to several of you. He was all over around the missionaries. And you see, wasn't that just a coincidence, right? Right at the time of missions conference, here he shows up out of nowhere, and he has, he calls himself Independent Baptist, but he's got all kinds of strange doctrines. And folks, it called several of you to come talk to me. The missionaries were saying, hey, do you know about this guy? Is this guy a part of your church? No, he's not. I don't even know who he is. But I had to deal with it. He stood out in the parking lot till what, midnight? Arguing with me. Now, he didn't have a gun, I guess, thankfully. If he did, he didn't use it. But what I'm telling you is this. See, the devil's not playing games. If you see him again, by the way, he is not welcome here, men, okay? If you don't know who I'm talking about, you're lucky. Either that or your head's in the sand somewhere. But if you don't know who I'm talking about, come ask me. He's not welcome here. He's to be escorted out of here as soon as you see him. But here's the thing. That false doctrine comes in and it starts breaking the fellowship. It starts rupturing the unity. Jesus said very plainly, beware. Beware. I said, his name was Greg. I said, Greg, is it possible that you've twisted some of the scripture? Like the Bible says, unlearned and unstable, they wrest the scripture to their destruction. Is it possible? Well, no, I don't think so. Hello, the Bible says that many, many, many will wrest the scripture and twist the scripture because they're unlearned and unstable. I'm not going to go on and on about what he said, but what I'm saying is Satan is always intentionally attacking this fellowship, this unity of the Holy Spirit. And the number one thing he does is brings in false doctrine. The Bible Paul warned Timothy, hey, there's seducing spirits and there's doctrines of devils. Amen. The devil has his own ministers. I've got to hurry. But the second thing that brings it in is false doctrine. Now listen, I'm going to stop right here for a second before I go any further. I just read a missionary prayer letter on this topic from the Krays in the Netherlands. Tremendous couple. Some of y'all don't know them yet, but when they come on furlough, we'll have to have them back in.
Amen.
Sweet people. Humble. Love the Lord. Gracious. But you know what he said in his prayer letter? He said, I'm battling... In the Netherlands, I'm battling some false doctrine coming to my church through YouTube. In the Netherlands. Now, I know technology can be good and all that stuff, but it's also very easily taken and used for wrong. Be careful, okay? Jesus said it one word, beware. Beware, okay? Of the false doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine on the internet.
Right.
And if it gets into your head, you'll bring it into your church.
Yeah.
Okay? And Jesus said, beware. Okay? And secondly, though, through satanic doctrine, but also listen to me, as I mentioned this earlier, look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 15. Through sowing discord. Matthew 18, verse 15. Now I want you to look down, verse 15. Everybody get there. I'm going to wait for you. Okay? Everybody there? Say amen. Okay? Moreover, if thy... What's that next word? Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if thy what? That's another Christian. The Pharisees and Sadducees weren't saved. They had false doctrine. They weren't saved. Now, this is talking about a brother. If thy brother trespass against thee... Now look what it says here. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Because you're supposed to have, right, the Holy Spirit, the mediator, right? Bringing things back together. Go and tell that person alone, church. Okay? Now if you want me to get involved, I'll be glad to do that. But the biblical, most biblical way is for you, amen, to in the spirit of humility and meekness, you go tell that person alone. And then look what it says here. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay? That means all that means is you're reconciled. Everything's back, like your fellowship is restored. Now look, but in verse 16, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If that person says, well, I didn't do that, I'm not going to apologize. Now understand something. It could be a misunderstanding. That's why you go talk to somebody.
Right.
Maybe you misunderstood what was said, right? But if they say, well, no, I'm not taking that back, or no, that's what I said, that's what I mean. Now listen to me. That right there, right at that very minute, that person is sowing discord.
All right.
at that very second, that person is saying, nope, I'm sowing discord on purpose. Because you humbled yourself and you said, can I talk to you alone? And okay, yeah, let's talk alone. You offended me. You trespassed against me in such and such as. Did you do this? Did you say this? Okay? And then two godly people with the Holy Spirit ought to be able to say, man, I did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, or you misunderstood me, or yeah, I did say that, but man, you know, I shouldn't have. Something, right? And then you, depending on who you are, well, you make up, period. And then you go on. And see, listen, and then there's no more discord. Now, the Bible tells us to do this right away.
Right.
But then if that person says, no, I don't care what you think, that's what I meant. Then the Bible says, take another person with you, and if he shall neglect to hear them, in verse 17, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. What's that mean? He's out of the membership. He is no longer welcome in your congregation. Whoa. Listen, why would God be so severe about that? That's what we call church discipline, which is still biblical.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. So they're a Christian. I know that. But if they refuse to get things right, then they are sowing discord.
Right. That's right. Right.
And God says, get them out of there.
Yeah.
See, listen to me. God's church is not a playground for rebels.
Amen.
That's why we need to keep the Spirit of God preeminent. That in all things Christ may have the preeminence. Many times, you don't even have to get to this point. They just leave on their own. That's not what we want. But understand, God says, hey, they need to leave.
Yeah.
Why? Because this fellowship is that important.
Amen.
Now, I tried to talk to that man and restore that man. But the minute he said, nope, I said, you don't need to come back anymore.
Yeah.
He came back the next day. And my radar, my antennas were up high, all the way up, amen. I watched him like a hawk. Before he left, I said, what are you doing? What about the conversation we had last night? And he said, he mumbled something, and I've never seen him since, thankfully. But I don't even know that he was saved. Sure didn't act like it. Very self-righteous. Very full of pride. But hey, listen. You too can wander in the wrong direction and begin having fellowship at the table of devils and get yourself an attitude and start mouthing off about somebody else in your church. And then listen to me. It's my job. Hey, it's the church's job to take care of that. Not because we want you to leave. Notice, what is the whole point of this? To gain the brother.
Right.
To restore that fellowship.
Amen.
Because it's that important.
Amen.
God says, you know what? I would rather you treat them as a heathen and a publican than to mess up that fellowship.
Yeah.
See, folks, God is love. I know He's love. But He's also righteous.
Amen.
He's also holy. And this thing of fellowship, this thing of communion, He says, be careful now. Don't forget, yes, praise me all you want to praise me, I deserve it all, but don't forget to communicate fellowship with me and with your body of believers.
Yeah.
It's important. It's that important. Because you are listen, we are partaking of this ministry together in this local church. All of those missionaries, bus routes, Sunday school classes, soul winning, nursing homes, everything, we're partaking of it together.
Yeah.
Through our offerings, that's only one part of it. Through our prayers, that's only one part of it.
Yeah.
Just through our unity of the Spirit, the like-mindedness, the bond of peace, amen, the comfort of love. If you will not get things right with somebody, then it's going to snowball.
Right.
God says, do it, get rid of it now. Why? Because that fellowship's that important. Don't forget to communicate, to participate, to fellowship with each other as you draw closer to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, we thank you for the Bible and how it teaches us, Lord. how it teaches us to be godly, to live so.